Greetings of Christian love to each of you this morning in the name of Jesus. Good to be back to worship with you at the home church again after being gone last Sunday. We did enjoy our time out Midwest, and it's good to see Charlisa and attend Ridgeview yet on last Sunday. Just a word of information and maybe prayer request for them. They announced that Sunday, last Sunday when we were there, that they were having a members meeting coming up real soon to discuss building a new church building. So they're working through that, and those things can be tests for a congregation. Remember them in that. For a message this morning, I invite you to turn with me for the text verse to John chapter 18. It's where our text verse comes out of. John chapter 18, verses, I'm going to read 33 to 37. Notice the context here is Jesus before Pilate, and they were having an interchange here. John chapter 18, verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" And this is the text verse. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." And that's the title of the message today. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." My kingdom is not of this world. This past week, I, of course, was thinking about God would have me to share this morning. My mind has been reflecting on the happenings in the nations and the wars and the struggles of nations. And as I reflected on the current events happening in the world, the unrest, the flexing of military might and tension. I was walking in after my lunch break. I like to take a break in my car and just be alone, being around people and phones. I usually go out to the parking lot and sit in my vehicle, and it's just quiet there, and I just like that. I was walking in and I was thinking about this, and this verse came to my mind. My kingdom is not of this world. What does that mean? My kingdom is not governed by worldly rules and objectives, but of a different nature. What did Jesus mean when he said, "My kingdom is not of this world"? If his kingdom is not of this world, then what are the characteristics of his kingdom? The definition of the word kingdom is simply this: sovereign, royal power, dominion. It also has the idea, or it always definition also is, it is the territory or people over which a king rules. Now we know what that is. There are two kingdoms at work in this present age. They are the kingdom of God and the kingdom of evil, or the kingdom of the devil. There is only one supreme sovereign kingdom. And I would like for us this morning to just take a step back, or maybe a step front, whatever you want to call it, and just focus on the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. The devil took Jesus up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world. I don't know what that was like, and the glory of them. The devil took Jesus up there in the temptation and showed him the kingdoms of the world. Now, I'd like to, just a little bit of an object lesson here. So we know what this is. This is a globe. And this is Earth. So we are here in the United States, Pennsylvania. We're here. Now, imagine, let's get this into perspective a little bit. So this is Earth. And we are here. So now imagine Earth in space. So I know we have all the other hosts of planets here, but Earth is here in space. Now, outside of here, this globe sitting here in this church house, outside of here, like way out here, and as far as you can envision beyond, up to the outer, is there outer space? I guess there is, but then there's space beyond that, right? And then what's beyond that? I don't know. Here's Earth in space. And we are here. Our church is here somewhere in PA. And you are here as well, individually here. But then, and on Earth here, there are nations and kingdoms all over here. Nations, lots of them. I don't know how many there are. There's a lot. I should look that up. But lots of nations, lots of kingdoms, lots of people. There's a lot of lords and kings. And here we are in the vast. Don't you feel a little small? And out here is just endless space. So, when God formed the earth, and in creation, and made man was made in His image, and put here on this earth, on this globe. And man had a right relationship with God, didn't he, at first, before sin came? There was dominion. They were one with God. They had a choice. And they fell into sin. And sin passed upon all men. Remember, God had told Adam that he has dominion over the animals and over the earth, to dress and to keep the garden and so forth. But there was a curse and there was a fall that happened that affected earth. It affected everything that happens here on earth. And the relationship between God and man was marred. Then we know, and we understand Scripture, at some point there was trouble. It hardly seems right to even say that, but there was a conflict in heaven. And Satan and his angels were cast out. And there began another operation that was in opposition to God and his work. And that is at work today and has been at work for thousands of years, opposing God's work in the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 4, verse 43, Jesus said to those at Capernaum, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." So, Creator God saw from the beginning and knew, foreknowledge of God knew, that man is going to make a choice and he's going to need a redeemer. And he sent, and the Old Testament prophets prophesied of a coming Messiah and of a coming kingdom. And there's going to be a kingdom of peace. And remember the prophecies of Jesus. "We'll send a governor that will rule my people Israel. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He's going to come and he's going to establish a rule. There's going to be another law. The earth is in the scene right now. This earth, picture it in the vastness of eternity, of the space. The earth, the kingdoms that are operating on earth here today. It's in a scene of rebellion against God. 1 John 5, verse 19. "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." And there's wickedness, and there's bombs and missiles and death and struggle for power. Nations proclaiming that they have the most firepower. I'd like to look at the message in three main points. And I trust you can bear with me this morning. Some of what I share this morning, I probably will not be the same feeling or viewpoint that you may have. Open to your help in this. This is what I've felt led to preach is a lot larger than my little brain, and trusting God and His Holy Spirit to lead us through this. Three main points. I want to look briefly at the supremacy of the kingdom of God. What does that mean? What the supreme? The supreme. I'd like to look at the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Now that we changed there from kingdom of God to kingdom of heaven, hopefully we'll be able to follow that. And then I would like to look at the everlasting reign of the kingdom of God. So the supremacy of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? In the Bible, in the New Testament, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are used interchangeably at times. This kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is the sphere of God's rule. And this is a sphere. It's a circle. It's a globe. The kingdom of God is the sphere of God's rule. The kingdom of God is the sphere in which at any time his rule is acknowledged. So here in chapel, Mennonite Fellowship, we acknowledge God's rule, don't we? We endeavor to. The kingdom of God is here. We are serving the kingdom of God. It's here. Jesus said at one point to the disciples, I don't have the verse, I wanted to look it up. It came to my mind as I was sitting here this morning and I couldn't find it. But I'm sure the people group he said it to, but the kingdom of God is within you. It is a sphere where his rule is acknowledged. God's sovereign authority has not been made of none effect in the face of rebellion, demonic and human, but he has declared his purpose to establish it. And you can find that in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. The interesting thing also is that God cares about you and I. His care is on those of his kingdom. He cares about you and about me. The supremacy of the kingdom of God. I'm going to turn to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to be reading a number of scriptures, and I invite you to turn with me to these. Colossians chapter 1. And verses 16 to 19. Let's notice what the scripture says here. We're talking about the supremacy of the kingdom. I'm going to start reading verse 14. Talking about Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things made, created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether by thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. The supremacy of the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 and 25. Christ will someday reign over all rule and all authority and power, and in the end destroy death itself. Sin came and marred, and there was a curse, and there was a mar, a blot on mankind. Now, God gave his law to the children of Israel. He sought willing obedience, and we noticed in our Sunday school lesson, failure in that obedience. He sought willing obedience. There were kings appointed to administer his dominion over it. 1 Chronicles 28, verses 4 to 5. You can read that and look that up. David and Solomon are appointed kings over Israel to rule the kingdom of Israel. Kingdom on earth, the children of Israel. I said the Old Testament prophets prophesied of the coming Messiah and of the coming king. Israel rejected the king, the Son of God. Matthew 21, 33 to 44. It's the parable of the vineyard. John chapter 10 and verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Israel shared in the rebellion happening on earth. You see, when Jesus came, there was prophecies, and some of the spiritual minded people recognized Jesus coming. They recognized him as the Messiah. What were they thinking in their minds? We know what the disciples were thinking. They asked Jesus in Acts, and we'll look at that in just a bit. Are you going to set up the kingdom now? And wasn't it the mother of John and Zebedee that had a special request? Jesus, when you set up your kingdom, can you have one son over here and the other son over here? It was set up the kingdom. They were thinking kingdom, a setup of a kingdom. Israel rejected their king. And the Bible tells us in Romans that the gospel was sent to the given, opened up to the Gentiles. Now the mystery, number two, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. The mystery of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are often used interchangeably. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 13 and read some verses here. Matthew chapter 13, and let's notice, I'm going to read verses 10 to 23. References of the kingdom fall into two classes, present and future. Now let's read Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and spake unto him, unto Jesus, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you. Now notice with me, I hope I don't lose you, and I hope that the Spirit can speak to your heart in my weakness. Verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are full of hearing, or dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things, thank you, which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Now, he goes on to give the parable of the sower. Now, Matthew 13 has parables of the kingdom. You'll notice in verse 24, there's the parable of the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed a good seed in his field, and so forth. There's parables of the kingdom of heaven. The mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Currently, we are living here on earth, that little spot in Pennsylvania, and we are living in the mystery of the kingdom. We are living in the time between the first and second coming of Christ. It is the mystery of the kingdom. Romans chapter 11 is of necessity that I read some of these scriptures. Romans chapter 11 and verse 15. Well, verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles in so much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? It's part of the mystery of the kingdom. 11 verse 20. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. If God didn't spare them, how will he spare you? The mystery Paul refers to is also in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The workings of the kingdom of God are revealed to those who are not dull of hearing, to those who are open to his message, the message of the Messiah, the message of the gospel, which changes lives from the dark world to the world of light. God calls upon men everywhere to repent and to voluntarily submit to the rule of God's kingdom. Matthew 13 and verse 11. It's given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 tells us that it is spiritually discerned. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A fundamental principle of the kingdom is that the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. There it is in Luke 17, 21. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And where the king is, there is the kingdom. Jesus was there with his disciples. And the kingdom of God, if you are been converted and you've received the new birth, you're part of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of heaven, the mystery of the kingdom, is at work in your heart and transforming you. In our present time, and as far as the earth is concerned, where God's rule is acknowledged, where is that? Where is God's rule acknowledged? Well, first, it is acknowledged in the heart of the believer, where God's rule is acknowledged. Today, on this globe, on the earth, there are places where God's rule is acknowledged. Could it be this morning that in the heart of Iran, where the bombs are falling and the missiles and there's much turmoil, that there is a nucleus of the kingdom of God where there's Christian people who are acknowledging God's rule? And all over the globe, there are individuals acknowledging the rule of God. But is this earth totally under God's dominion? Yes, it is. But is it in its fullest dimension? Not limiting God's power, not trying to split hairs here. But there is part of the kingdom that is at work in the lives of the redeemed, of those that hear the gospel message and respond and acknowledge the rule of God. It is acknowledged in the churches of God. And there's 1 Corinthians 12:3 and verse 5 and verse 11, chapter 14 and verse 37, Colossians 1 and verse 27. It's where the kingdom of God, maybe I'll just turn to Colossians 1 and verse 27. Paul says, Paul's service for Christ, he's teaching and exhorting them. He says in verse 25, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And that inspires me. "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Wherefore I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh to me mightily." Be strengthened, brothers and sisters, loved ones. The current stress of the nations is not our kingdom. There's a kingdom at work in your heart if you're redeemed and born again, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Entrance into the kingdom is through the new birth. I mentioned that, Matthew 18 and verse 3. "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children," what? "Ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." There's the kingdom of heaven. There are some scholars who differentiate and say, and I'm not going to go into that, I didn't feel like I had time, differentiate between the workings of the kingdom of God and the workings of the kingdom of heaven. There's differing views in that. Those who enter the kingdom of God are brought into conflict with all who disown its allegiance. So that's why you have a war of temptation. You have a war that's going on, and we struggle. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness." There's a war going on, and you've entered, you've become converted, you gave your heart to God, you acknowledged his rule here in your little heart in Pennsylvania, in this vast space. You acknowledge God's rule, and you've given your heart to him, and that puts you in conflict with evil. "Those who enter the kingdom of God are brought into conflict with all who disown its allegiance." They are brought into conflict with the desires native to human flesh. And what are they? They are desires of ease and pleasure. It is the dislike of our personal, of our bodies, the way our created bodies. It's the dislike of suffering and unpopularity. We don't like it. But yet, for God's sake and the sake of the kingdom, we surrender and receive blessing. Jesus came showing the principles of the kingdom. Just quickly, and there's many, but it challenged you and challenged me. He came and he said when he came different things of why he's here. Not to be served, but to serve. And think about you in your life as a Christian and as part of the kingdom of God that you say you are. He came not to be served, but to serve. He came not to fight, but to forgive, to bring reconciliation. He came to seek and to save the lost. And he gave us a mission, a great commission, to preach. He brought a light, bringing deliverance from darkness. He came not to condemn, but to save. John chapter 12, verse 47. And again, John chapter 8, verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. There's an interesting statement of Jesus in Matthew 19, 23 to 30. There Jesus is talking to the rich. How hardly can a rich man enter into heaven, the kingdom of God? He uses kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven interchangeably in the same context. He also refers to the future world yet to come in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 19. He says, in the regeneration, palingenesia. And he refers to the King of righteousness yet to come. In the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, thy kingdom, and we pray this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is to be about a resignation in us to the will of God. Today, the workings of the kingdom are veiled, as it were. They're in a mystery, they're veiled. At work in the believer's heart, yes. To those who obey and do the will of God, they shall enter into the kingdom. Matthew 7, 21. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6, 33. And all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It is in this time, during the mystery of the kingdom, that a spiritual nucleus, we'll call it, of born-again individuals develops. We read Colossians 1:13, didn't we? Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Matthew 25, verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, your right hand will be over here, on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, back when the creation happened. The kingdom prepared for you. What is that? If I plan, if you plan, if it's in your desire to be a part of the band of those on the right hand of the Father, hearing the words of God, the Father saying, come, inherit. It is of utmost importance that I die a member of the kingdom of God. Basically, what I'm saying is, if I plan to be hearing those words from Creator God, Sovereign God, you know, it's very inviting to hear the words, come, when you go away for lunch, Sunday afternoon, and other things, where you hear the word come, that's inviting, isn't it? You want to come. And then inherit. Well, I must move on. Many have rejected submission to the kingdom and have rather turned to idolatry. There are two different groups referred to in the teachings of the kingdom. They are these. They are those to whom it is given, those to whom it is not given. They are whosoever hath, and whosoever hath not. The kingdom. Now, last part of the message. The everlasting reign of the kingdom. The everlasting reign of the kingdom of God. What shall be in the latter days? Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28. God in heaven shall set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Daniel chapter 2, 44 to 45. And there are differing views as to what is being referred to here in Daniel. It is my personal view that this is referred to a messianic kingdom of Christ's rule on earth. Some see the fulfillment of this in Christ's first coming and identify the Messiah's kingdom solely with the church. Others see the fulfillment of this in both Christ's first and second coming, while recognizing there is an aspect of Christ's kingdom equated to the final fulfillment of this prophecy to the millennium or 1,000-year reign of Christ, in which Satan and his forces will be bound 1,000 years. Many verses that I would like to turn to. Revelation 20, Isaiah 2, 1 and 3, Isaiah 11, 3 to 5, Daniel 7, 14, Zechariah 14, 9. In Daniel, we have Nebuchadnezzar had his dream of the image of gold and stone and wood, representing different kingdoms. And Daniel interpreted the dream. There is coming a day when this world and all that is therein will be burned up. Right? We believe that, right? This earth here, as we envisioned, in the vastness of space, well, I guess, what's going to happen with all the stars and everything? But this earth, the works, will be burned up. The Bible talks in Revelation of a new heaven and new earth. What does that all mean? Is it literal? Is it the kingdom of God in our hearts? But let's not be fooled. Or let's not be discouraged or led away of our own lusts and enticed. The kingdom of God will reign supreme forever and ever. And I don't care how powerful any army is no match for our King. There's much more that I have in my notes that I would like to say, and I thought I might come to this point. It's time to conclude. Revelation 19 and verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful, capital F, Faithful and True, capital T. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. I must turn there. I invite you to turn there with me. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11 I read. Verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, what? King of kings and Lord of lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the air and so forth. I'm going to stop reading there, but it's talking about the come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. I want to conclude by reading Revelation chapter 22, in verses 6 to 21. Universal call for men on this globe to come and take of the water of life. Someday all will be made new. Christ's kingdom will come in an open, recognizable way to all. The mystery will be past, and all will know without a doubt who is King of kings and Lord of lords. There will be no doubt. Revelation 22, I'm going to read verses 6 to 21, and then we will close with prayer. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me. Think of it. To give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man should take away from the prophecies of the book, words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let us look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. Let us be faithful today and be part of the kingdom of God. That mystery of the kingdom at work in our hearts. The Bible tells us that all of us that are assembled here at worship this morning will in no shadow of any doubt be excused from standing in front of the sovereign creator of heaven and earth to answer for the deeds done in our body. And it makes a difference. The kingdom that you are championing, is that the right word? I don't know. The kingdom that you are in today, it makes a difference for eternity. Let us pray.